album concept hour. The album concept hour. It's the album concept hour.
Welcome everybody to the album concept hour. I am your host Brad LeBaron, as always, and I have with me my co-hosts John over here. John, what's going on, John?
Oh, just chilling.
And then I got Jake over here. How's it going, Jake?
Hey.
Hey. And then today we have a very special returning guest. This is someone that you have heard previously on our Nine Inch Nails Downward Spiral episode. And if you have been following Beauty Unlocked, I think you show up as a guest on that every now and again.
Yes.
Right. So we have Daughter Lilith back on the podcast.
Hi guys.
How's it going?
A returning guest.
Yeah.
Woo!
We've had you written down for this album for a while now. Ever since the episode, we wrote it down. We're following.
Man,
I forgot
about that. I thought this was one of Jake's picks, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, well it is. It's pretty.
Well, we did the one of the Outlaws. Like,
yeah, I know.
You know,
yeah,
about a month after you guys did that episode.
Mm-hmm.
With
It is kind of oddly a sequel to two episodes in that sense, because we got one of the Outlaws, which this. The Highwaymen.
This has like two of the Outlaws.
Well, yeah, it has two of them. Two of the same people. So, you know, we have the Highwaymen. The album is Highwayman. And so it's kind of a sequel to the Outlaws. And also, we have Daughter of Lilith here. So, we're gonna break into this and break it down. But
it's going to be a good episode. I can feel it.
It's a great quad, too, because it's the song is Highwayman and the group is Highwaymen.
Yeah,
and the album is Highwaymen. It's a great quad. And it's just right the first like track.
That's the thing. That's like the theme.
Slaps you in the face.
It's like the everyman that's trucking across the country and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just trucking around and working. And
the whole album really just speaks to that too. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great middle of the road.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful for all of them.
But before we jump into it, I can't remember. Like I'm sure we talked about it a little bit on the episode you were on, but why does this album hold a special place for you, Daughter of Lilith?
It actually, well, you know, I'm a huge literature fan, and sometimes I put soundtracks onto favorite books, and I feel like if this was, I think this could be the perfect soundtrack for East of Eden by John Steinbeck.
Makes
a lot of sense in my head.
That's a really, really good call.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
that's an excellent book, by the way. Any giant Steinbeck out there, people, pick it up.
I know, man. And if you haven't read John Steinbeck, you guys need to read Steinbeck to understand the U.S., I think.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I do.
You're right. There's a lot of really deep stuff like that going on.
Right? That's how I feel. I'm like, I listen to the album and I'm like, this is like what John Steinbeck would probably listen to. You know what I mean? Like, it's just cool.
Yeah.
And I also, I'm a great admirer, obviously, of Johnny Cash. I think Johnny Cash came later in my life as something iconic. And ironically, I started liking him when he did the cover for Nine Inch Nails Hurt. And I was like, I need to find out more about this man. And and that was my entire love affair with Johnny Cash, which led me to this album. And I'm just mesmerized by how the lyrics are, they tell a story that you can picture so well, because we've probably all experienced it or seen it at one point or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like Johnny Cash, especially, I was the same way. I was introduced through Hurt, because that's where I think a lot of younger people were kind of, you know, exposed to Johnny Cash for the first time, like in a big way, because he completely reinvented himself and just rolled.
Oh,
with
and
the
this
time.
Was like, this was at like the end of his career too. Like,
yeah,
you know, like not the end. Obviously, he had a whole nother stage before he passed away. You know, but like, like you know, he'd done his stuff. Like even Lance, when Lance was like listening to it with me, you know, it's like. it really just feels like, you know, it's like none of these guys were in the same place at the same time. But hey, all of a sudden in the 80s, they're just sitting around a studio just jamming together. And they're like, you know, we should do something.
Yeah.
This could be good, you know?
Did they see
that? Boy, was it.
So, okay, how close do you think this is in relation to the Traveling Wilburys?
I said it's the country version of that. Me, I don't know which came first.
That's
though.
The only thing I could think of when I
Highwaymen came first.
Really?
So then the rock guys were like, "All right, we gotta do this too."
It's just like we are the world.
We can't just let the outlaw country guys be
the
only
super
group.
Like Michael Jackson did that because like the Brits did Christmas for Africa or something like that. Like we're America. We can do our own thing.
So that's how we are the world.
Yes, that is how we are the world.
That makes sense.
How far we have come.
Yes.
Cause and
yes.
effect is great.
Yes. Do kids even know about what was it again? Where is the world?
We are the world. We are children.
Yeah.
Dude, that was so painful growing up with that song.
Well, all the visuals were really interesting, though. It was just like, wow.
Well, you know, Michael Jackson was smart.
So many people,
because it was the night. It was the night of the Grammys, and he.
Oh yeah,
like they
right.
got
that's
done
right.
with the Grammys, and he's like, "Hey, come to my studio. Let's do this song for the world." And that's why he got like a million voices.
I mean, it's pretty smart. Yeah, yeah. I mean, when are they all going to be in the same place?
When other time did you get Michael Jackson and Bruce Springsteen singing on the same track?
Right.
And probably that one single time.
Yes.
And Hall and Oates. Jeepers,
yeah. With a little, yeah.
The list goes on and on.
And Ed Kennedy.
But this is like what's interesting to me about this is like right before like at least Cash's revival, right? This is kind of. What's his name?
I'd call this an in-between.
Rick Rubin. Well, Rick Rubin. I saw a little documentary recently, kind of talking about how Rick Rubin, was looking at Johnny Cash's career at that moment in time, and he was like, "I want to resurrect Johnny Cash," and basically, he was one of the people that eventually got him to do like the Hurt cover, and
the whole American swing of his career. The American albums, I think they're called.
Yeah, there's like three of them, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
3 to 5, I don't know. He did a lot at the end there.
No, you're
but
right.
This is before that, and still he is like He never stopped being good though. Like even though by the time
That'd
Rick Rubin got to him,
thing.
He was starting to become like a little washed up. Like this album is like proof that he just wasn't popular anymore. It just wasn't what people were listening to, which is pretty much the downfall of a lot of these country acts, right? Mm-hmm. We got Waylon Jennings, we got Johnny Cash, we got Kris Kristofferson.
I did not know that Kris Kristofferson actually had gone to Oxford University. Like the man's a genius. What is going
played
on?
Rugby at, played rugby at
Sunday
Oxford.
Sunday morning coming down.
Wow. Okay.
He was in, I think I showed this before, and I, it'd be better if I would have pulled this out. So if we can delay this.
Yeah.
But I have a Sports Illustrated with Kris Kristofferson on the, playing rugby at Oxford.
Wow.
Well, he was a babe. I'm gonna be the person that says it. He was an absolute babe. And then he also wrote beautiful poetry and obviously songs and whatever. And you're just like,
He wrote Sunday Morning Coming Down. That is my favorite country song.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Well, like one of the things I saw in some of the, the little documentary I watched from like 95 is he was talking about how much he loved France. And Waylon Jennings is just like aghast and just annoyed with him about it. And they're like arguing about it. Like, it's got cheese and it's got, wine and stuff. It's great. And Waylon Jennings is like, so does, I forget what he said, the Midwest or whatever. And like,
yeah.
So they have this like constant back and forth with how they communicate with each other. I highly recommend, I'm going to put a link in the description, but I highly recommend finding that 95 little mini doc, because it's just them telling stories and talking to each other.
Yeah, and I bet my money is that Mr. Christofferson here was the bougiest of all of them. I think
yeah,
he was like,
definitely.
You know, yeah, he definitely yeah. Oh, yeah. tapped into the bougie lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think Willie and him had some similar ideas about stuff, but they lived life completely different ways.
He just wrote songs for everybody and lived that rich lifestyle. Ugh. And he was best friends with
that's
all
the last
too.
One, Willie.
Well, and he was a movie star, too. Like, he was in A Star is Born in 76 with Streisand.
Oh,
and,
he was in that one.
And, of course, he was in the Blade trilogy.
Oh, what?
As well.
Of course he
what
was.
Are you talking about? Why?
He was, what was his name in the Blade trilogy?
I don't know. I've only seen those, like in passing, flipping through channels. I've never really, like,
he was Whistler. He was Whistler.
Okay. And he was in the trilogy. Yeah.
He was
in
all three.
I'm going to have to watch all of them now just for Kris Kristofferson.
Yes. That's it. That's the only reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds amazing. But yeah, so Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, all of the, like, kind of the Mount Rushmore of outlaw country.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it,
I mean, I'm partially inspired by the cover of the album because their faces.
The cover of the album looks
There's
like.
Four of them, too.
Yeah. It definitely made me think Mount Rushmore a lot.
And they cover all
Well, and isn't that kind of the way that they're all of their faces on Mount Rushmore are kind of
I didn't actually look at them side by side. So I don't know if it's like the same profiles and stuff, but I
think it is.
I think they're more level with each other though, cuz in Mount Rushmore one of them's like lower, right? And I don't know, I
well,
only know this because of Richie Rich. Richie Rich is my entire
Well, yeah,
Rushmore.
it's kind of like an inverse Mount Rushmore.
Okay,
now I'm looking at it.
I've been there. It's a nice place.
Okay, very cool. But yeah, so they're all outlaw country legends. So this is like, in a way,
Crazy
this
Horse.
Is like a sequel in spirit to like the Outlaws, which we covered extensively, which also included. Who was the other
Tom
two?
Paul Glazer.
Tom Paul Glazer and
Jesse Coulter.
That's right. You got to it. Really similar kind of project in general.
But that was the beginning. That was like the beginning of Outlaw Country, and this is like this has reached like
this is the
you
peak.
Know
the peak of Outlaw Country.
Yeah, I mean this is I don't know.
I mean,
most people would say
let's talk about
decline,
the first
right?
song, please. Let's roll into the first song.
Yeah.
Actually, this is something we just talked about.
Okay.
And it was Kristofferson later marveled. I always looked up at all of them and felt like I was kind of a kid who had climbed up on Mount Rushmore and stuck his face out there.
That's awesome.
So, the first song is written by Jimmy Webb, who wrote like a number of great songs, including Wichita Lineman, and By the Time I Get to Phoenix, Galveston, all those songs by Glenn Campbell.
Didn't Glenn Campbell release an album called The Highwayman or something like that?
He did, in 78 or 79. MacArthur Park was another song that Jimmy Webb wrote as well.
Okay.
Right. I had one more thing on this song.
What's her name that we covered? Carole King, kind of. He's like out there writing all these hits and not being the face of it.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And he's still playing music, actually. I follow him on a couple different social media sites. And he's still producing stuff, so
Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson are still with us. Of the people in this album. And Jimmy Webb. So,
Jimmy Webb wrote the song in London when he was finishing up work on his album El Mirage. After a late night round of professional drinking, he puts in quotes, with his friend
drinking.
Harry Nilsson. Well, Webb went to sleep and had an incredibly vivid dream. And then it lists the song. Okay, well, I have to read it.
Okay, all right. It says,
I had an old brace of pistols in my belt, and I was riding hell-bent for leather. This is his dream. Down those country roads with sweat pouring off my body, I was terrified because I was being pursued by police who were on the verge of shooting me. It was very real. I sat up in bed, sweating through my pajamas without even thinking about it. I stumbled out of bed at the piano and started playing Highwayman. Within a couple of hours, I had the first verse.
Dude, yes.
I knew there had to be some sort of substance with that song because it got way philosophical in the middle. Like,
yeah.
You have to have the
Jimmy Webb released it first, then Glenn Campbell a year later in 78. And then it was released in Norwegian.
Norway?
Yeah, it was actually translated on Finn Kalvik's.
Like they sang it.
Yeah, his album in 1981. And then the Highwaymen did it.
Huh.
I need to listen to this, you know, Norwegian or Finnish version, whatever it is.
Yeah, that should be an Under the Covers cover song.
That sounds dope. I wish I had a clip for that. But this is the clip for Highwayman. And it's a banger.
I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can.
Okay.
I might even be a highwayman again.
Yeah, no, the story really does make this make a lot more sense. Because that verse, I was like a little thrown by. I was like, because I was following everything else. Like, oh, yeah, this is a good theme and everything. Then the Johnny Cash verse, I fly a starship across the universe.
Great.
After the dam builder and the sailor and the highwayman.
Yep. Everything else makes sense.
He just goes to space. And
and you get a great verse from each of them, too, by the way. Just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Song.
Oh, you're muted right
epic.
Now.
There we go. I wonder if, you know, if he says, like, I'm the spaceship, I wonder if what he wanted to say was, like, I'm an astronaut going out to outer space, just because.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It doesn't, and if you use the other thing, it just doesn't rhyme. It doesn't have the same, I'm in a rocket. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, I feel, I always felt like it was more spiritual thing.
Oh, you absolutely. Know,
like, yeah.
I'm on a starship across the universe divide.
Yeah.
You know, he's really like, it's the ultimate form, you know. He's really just talking about the reincarnation cycle in general.
Mm-hmm.
Said I'll come back.
Single drop of rain. That's like you know, favorite line.
Single drop of rain.
Yeah, you're right. For this this does get pretty freaking deep.
Yeah, it
I didn't
does.
Even I didn't even get this deep into it when
it's
I
was about
a
life
it a
cycle.
Times, but
it's about a life cycle.
Yeah.
You know what? I have to give a shout out to the one and only Mr. Duff McKagan. The you know Guns N' Roses bassist, badass, you know, they did a cover of this song. It was him, Mark Lanegan, and I want to say the lead singer from Death Cab for Cutie.
They
covered this song, and I was just
like, oh,
that's really interesting. I'm gonna listen to the song. He did, and it just brought me back to the Highwaymen, and I was just like, this is such a good poem. Like, it's actually.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Very rarely do I find songs that are truly poetic, like, and this is it. Like, this one is one of
the it's poetic, and you get like a different voice, like each you know verse too, and it's a different story, and it all just ties together well.
Yeah.
So I wondered how they got their name, and apparently in 1984, Glenn Campbell played the song for him. For Johnny Cash. Then they were all four of the group members were in Switzerland doing a television special, and they decided they should do a project together. While they were all there, Marty Stewart played the song again for Cash, saying it would be the perfect song for them. Four verses, four souls, four of them. And then Campbell played the song again, this time to all four of them. And then the quartet had the name for their supergroup, the Highwaymen. And then they thought it was a perfect name for them because they were always on the road, and all four of them had the image of being outlaws in country music.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
And apparently, Roseanne Cash said her dad did not realize the song was about reincarnation until she explained it to him.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
I mean, I get that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could interpret it all sorts of ways.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, yeah, I mean, if you think about reincarnation, well, I mean,
that is what always came to me to be honest with you.
I think first and foremost, an everyman song. It's like the song is about just different kinds of workers that, you know.
The dam builder verse gets me every time.
There's just
like
really,
he fell down and they just
buried
him because that's what they did.
People went
for a better pay, and sometimes you died.
Well, the people that, you know, for good or ill, like, you know, built the, you know, modern, like, United States, it's a really...
But it really, even though it's such a morbid verse, it doesn't matter, because it's like, I'll come back,
Well, yeah, because it
ends
on that note.
It's a political statement as well, in the sense that, you know, America is made on the backs of workers, and regardless of whether they're quote unquote illegal workers. And we see that later on with Ortiz, like we hear that. But it's a nation that is, of course, it's built on massacres upon massacres. But at the same time, we've also massacred the workforce as well. And just completely.
Every generation had its own force that we massacred at some point.
But
it's just the everyday man, which is why it's very Steinbeck. That's the thing. Like, it's just very.
Yeah, that's what I appreciate about, like, because it does get in. It gets into that, like, if you're not familiar with Steinbeck, like, a real core aspect to him is, like, I think when people are talking about, like American values in quotes in the earlier 20th century, that's what they're talking about. It's the like melting pot and the like caring for the least of these and you know, just dealing with vices head on, you know? I think this, like Steinbeck, represents America in that light with, you know, the good and the bad.
Yeah, we're going to be accused of being socialists in about, you know, 10 minutes.
Oh, that's fine.
This,
I mean,
podcast.
I'm pretty sure I'm on record at this point.
I'm already done. I'm already done with that.
Yeah, yeah.
God forbid, guys.
Go socialism.
Go socialism.
I mean, capitalism's cool, too, but inject some socialism every once in a while.
Yeah, there we go.
There's some balance.
Yeah.
I mean, capitalism is a great machine for making money. Do something with the money. Anyways,
right.
What's the second track, Brad?
No, I need to talk. I just had a little bit more. The Highwayman's version of the song earned songwriter Jimmy Webb a Grammy Award for 1985's Best Country Song. And the Highwaymen in 2019, all-female country supergroup The Highwaymen released a reworked version of the song called Highwoman. And it was written by Brandi Carlile and Amanda Shires, along with Jimmy Webb, in which the four characters were women. The first verse, Carlile sang as a Honduran immigrant who died trying to get her family over the border. In the second, Shires sang as a healer hanged in the Salem witch trials. Ooh. In the third, British singer-songwriter Yola, which I've talked about on the podcast before, contributed guest vocals as a freedom rider who got shot. And then the fourth verse, Natalie Hemby sang as a preacher.
Can we listen to this version, please? Like, it sounds.
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull it up. 1 second. We'll trim this so that the copyrights don't get at me. But...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's it?
High Woman
by the Highwaymen.
Women. Here we go. Yep. Brandi Carlile, Natalie
MB?
Something. Yeah. All right. Here is Highwaymen.
I was a high woman and a mother. I was a freedom rider when we thought the South had won. Virginia in the spring of 61. I sat down on the Greyhound that was bound for Mississippi.
A little choked up there, I'm not gonna lie.
Damn, there was a lot there.
Every time I hear Yola's voice, it just gives me chills.
Yeah.
I haven't actually heard it yet, but that is so. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. Like, I mean, you described, you know, a pretty good description of it beforehand, but I mean, it's very. It's real visceral and deep, like the original, even more so, I think. Because these are,
That it's just the stanza of, like, I was a freedom writer when we thought the South had won. That one is just, oh man.
Yeah. Like, and one thing that really, really struck me is the line, "We are the highwaymen singing stories still untold." Because, like, if you're unfamiliar out there, there's a book called The People's History of the United States of America. And the premise of it is it takes the...
Howard Zinn.
Yeah. It takes the idea of, like, you know, the winners always write history, and it reverses it. So he tells stories from, you know, indigenous peoples and slaves and women and stuff.
And, that's such a good connection.
Well, and that's what I got out of it was, like, that's literally true, that those stories are now starting to be told and given the kind of respect they deserve, because it's been about, you know, it's been about men for so long.
Yeah. Patriarchy's a bitch sometimes.
That's
affected men as well, horribly. So
yeah, absolutely. No one wins. No one wins in it.
No.
And it's such a perfect yin to the yang of the original one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, oh my god. You send our hearts to die alone in foreign nations, and they return to us as tiny drops of rain.
Ugh.
Like, it's because that's like literally referencing the line in the original one.
Yeah. And then she did a Colorado line later there too. Yeah. That was.
It's just, you know what it is that gets to me, and I think that you are alluding to it. Circular nature of the song. It's just how it just keeps repeating itself over and over again. Like, history, it's a historical song.
Yeah.
That is, you know, very repetitive, but not in a boring way. It's just kind of like history repeats itself over and over, and it's circular. Almost.
Well, you know, they could have just sang the song, but they didn't.
Yeah, they made
their own narrative. Succeeded at that. Yeah. Which is also, like, which is better than just doing the song really well, you know, which they could have done, and it would have sold well, but this is better.
Yeah.
This is personal. But
I'm going to ask a very absurd question.
A progression, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's the absurd, I mean, it might be absurd, but the singers, like, are they all white women? Because it would have been fascinating if they had, you know, women of different backgrounds.
I don't know.
Well, Yola's African American.
Okay. Awesome.
She's a Brit, but she's she's not African American.
She's
black.
African British.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
Whatever.
Randy Carlyle is American singer songwriter, born in Washington. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
But it does, it follows the, you know, I think folk-like structure.
But she did identify herself as a lesbian.
Okay.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have the diversity being represented rather than, you know.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, the Highwaymen, of course, is, you know, four old white guys. But that's
four old straight white guys.
Four old straight white guys. Yes. And they're all
straight country white dudes.
Yeah. And it's good that we've progressed to a point where that's no longer like the just considered the norm, you know?
I wonder if Lil Nas is gonna cover this song at one point.
Please.
He just did Joy. It was Chef's Kiss.
Yeah. Maybe we're on the beginning of a new age of country or something. Who knows?
Love it.
But yeah, you guys want to move on to another track?
There's just
listen to these tracks,
so
people.
Go
listen to both of these tracks, one after the other. This next track is The Last Cowboy Song. So let's see what that sounds like.
There's Chisholm Trail is covered in concrete now. And they truck them to market in 50-foot rigs. They roll by his marker and don't even notice. Like living and dying is all he ever did.
It really just feels like, you're sitting around a fire, you got a narrator, he's just like,
did anybody get Kenny Rogers vibes from this song? Because I did. Or I don't know if it's vice versa. But it was...
He's the Denver guy, right?
Who? Kenny Rogers?
Kenny Rogers. I'm sorry. I don't know
he's much about
Kenny Rogers.
He's the gambler.
He's the gambler.
I know what he looks like then, at least from the commercial.
He did a song with Dolly Parton.
Islands in the Stream.
He reminds you of...
So he did a song named Lucille, and the rhythm and beat kind of reminds me of it, but I don't know which one came first, and I didn't
Lucille
want...
Lucille came first, actually.
Did it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
Lucille was in the 70s. I think this song was written later.
80-something?
Yes.
Maybe? I don't know, but I thought it was very Kenny Rogers-esque, and I was like, this is awesome. I really like this song.
Well, they were friends with Kenny Rogers.
It's got like a warmness to it. Like,
yeah.
I think like you were saying, like it could be like a campfire situation.
Campfire song,
you know? Yeah. Everyone else
somebody
is singing,
like, you get a narrator from the distance, you know,
telling
the story of like the oldie time.
Yeah, everyone starts singing
this
quiet.
Written by Ed Bruce, mm-hmm. and it was
Ed
performed
Bruce.
First by Ed Bruce, and it was first
names.
Released in 1980.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that's the thing. A good.
Oh, and he also wrote
"Mamas
Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys."
Oh, that's a great song.
Oh, so.
And also,
another good
"You're the Best Break This Old Heart Ever Had."
Okay, so was this his last Cowboys?
I love talking about old country.
Did they like
so many collabs?
Like bring him out of retirement and dust him off, and we're like, "Hey, we need one more." Well, this is already a song, but there's actually I think. Most of these are songs that pre-existed the recording of the album.
I think all of them.
You think all? Well, what about the last one? The last one feels... Well, no, that one's
that
by
was
John
a John
Prine.
Prine.
That's John
that
Prine.
Was a John... That's John Prine, yes.
Yeah.
Steve song.
Okay.
So these are all covers.
Well, I guess some of them are covers of Johnny Cash songs, so they're like... It's legit.
Cover
so,
of a cover,
know,
yeah.
It's you know, it's got his stamp on it.
Right.
But, yeah. This is very much a cowboy song, though. They're talking about Lewis and Clark, old Wyatt, eyeball to eyeball. I don't know who Travis in Texas is, but I'm sure he's important. It's kind of just a weird nostalgic song for Western stuff.
It really
is. I don't really know what to make of this one.
It does. It reminds me of the old TV shows, right? Like, for example, Wyatt Earp. It reminds you of I don't know if you guys ever saw Lonesome Dove.
No, but I've heard that. Great.
Flipping love that. Okay. There is not a single time that you watch that and not cry, because it's just this epic, right, of Americana, like how America just was what these guys sing about. Yeah. And this song reminds me of a bunch of dudes just hanging out in this really dingy bar and just, you know, talking about their wee good times. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely is. I'm glad that it's early in the album, because it's like, it's kind of lighter, you know. It's it's maybe one of the lightest songs on the album. I feel like later in the album it would feel
well.
Weird.
You know, you kind of get like, you know, the introduction is the Highwaymen. You know, you get a little piece of everybody, and now you just kind of. You get some songs from everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little collaboration here, a little collaboration there, you know. And
who sings most on this one? This was mostly Willie Nelson.
This was Willie
singing
and Johnny.
Mostly Willie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everyone's doing the choruses, but I think mostly Willie is taking the lead on this one.
Yeah.
The Travis you spoke of earlier, that is William Buck Travis, who was the died at the Battle of the Alamo during the Texas Revolution, and Travis County is where Austin is, I believe, and that is where, and that's where the capital is, and that was named after William Travis.
Oh, nice! I didn't know that.
Think.
And man, I'm not going to mention the other Travis that's on everyone's brains this week. In the tragic.
Oh no, we don't mention that.
Yeah, that awful thing in music that happened.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, the guest on the last week's episode actually mentioned him and said he was thinking of covering one of his songs, but this was the day before the event happened, and I don't think my friend will be covering his songs now
anymore.
Yeah. Not to bring it down to that, but we have another track for you guys that has nothing to do with Travis's, and this is actually about a gym. This is Jim, I Wore a Tie Today.
Jim, so you're riding on ahead. Well, if that's how it's going to be, when you reach the streets paved with gold, Jim, stake a claim out for me.
Oh, Jim.
That has to be Johnny Cash singing it.
Oh absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's,
yeah,
it's,
that's
like, it's Cash and Way and Willie.
Yeah.
Oh, Willie,
this was a Cindy Walker song, and Cindy Walker had a ton of songs that she wrote that were hits for other artists.
Okay.
Willie Nelson did a whole album of covers. You Don't Know Me is a song that's been covered by many, many, and she wrote that one.
Yeah.
And a host of other ones, but
man, I'm just fascinated by these like songwriters that exist in the background of stuff. Like, I haven't been as aware of them growing up, but like now it's like, man, you've been involved with how many hits? Like, it's some of them, it's like they've had more hits than like the names you know?
Yeah.
So it's impressive. Do you guys know who the Jim is though in this? I'm not sure who the Jim is. You guys know if there is a specific Jim?
I don't think so.
What?
Should we do a quick Google search of who this Jim is?
I was just hoping one of you guys do.
No, there's just Jimmy. Good country song,
there's
man.
Jimmy Webb.
Who is the Jim?
I'm gonna find. I need
the
to know.
Magic of internet.
In Jim, I Wore a Tie Today. I thought for sure Jake would just know.
Oh, I'm looking. I've been looking for the last 3 minutes.
Yeah. No, I mean, usually there is, for for something this specific, there's like a note on Genius, like, oh yeah, this guy is this specific person that they knew.
But no.
It could just be a random guy that's not famous, you know. That's always possible.
God, we found it.
Did we? I don't know if we did.
Anonymity.
But let's just assume Jim's just an anonymous guy, because I can't find anything. Cursory search. So, Jim must be. Let's assume it's Jim from
friend of Cindy Walker.
Star Trek. I was thinking. the doctor.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm a doctor.
Is Chris Christopherson on Twitter? I'm gonna tweet at him and be like, "Who's Jim?"
Please. Please do. If you get answers.
We need to know.
I think he just retired from performing, so he might.
He might have the time.
He might be sitting at home on Twitter.
Yeah. Might have the time.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed this this track, though, regardless of who Jim is. I like that it's the kind of like tongue in cheek way of it's. I don't know. It almost feels like a prank on Jim. That he is wearing a tie to the funeral, you know, because Jim's never seen him in this and never did in his like living years. And like,
yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know. It almost seems like its own like personal joke. That's also his way of, you know, saying goodbye. But yeah, really like, I don't know. It's a very, man's way of explaining grief, for another man, I think. Because it's just like him wearing a tie is the extent of him showing his emotional journey.
I thought that's why Jim was wearing the tie. I thought Jim was like,
oh,
there for a second.
Does this connect to Brokeback Mountain like years later?
So. Was there a Jim in that? I haven't
the character's name, but there's a moment
where
Ledger grabs the clothes and it's the guy with, you know, it has like a tie in it as well. Connection.
Maybe they listen to this song.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, because it's all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that could be. Or were you going to say something, Jake? Or were you just breathing?
Nope, I breathed.
Just breathing.
Sorry.
Over there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My bad.
I always jump on you when you take a big breath.
I should just put like a finger in the camera.
No.
Like raising my hand. Point of procedure. Procedure. What is it? I don't know.
What were you saying?
Oh no, it's like he's been full of really like amazing information. So whenever he takes a deep breath, I'm like, he's gonna say something.
Yeah, right.
What's the interesting fact of the day?
When we get into the countries and blues stuff, Jake, he's got his sights, he's got his sources, you know.
He knows
and,
his stuff.
Yeah.
He knows
yeah.
his stuff.
He's yeah. on the ball.
He's on the ball.
Very nice.
You know,
if this was like emo music, I would have all the facts coming at you like a mile a minute.
But Jake's got the country stuff down.
Yeah, yeah. You want to move on to what do you have on?
I was gonna say I do like to keep this album flowing like a river. You know,
oh, like a big river. Yeah,
big river.
Yeah, we could do that.
Nice transition there, guys. Yeah, I saw what you did there.
Take that woman on down to New Orleans, New Orleans. She loves you, big river, more than me. I talk to weeping willow how to cry.
And I talk to weeping willow how to clear.
This version of the song features the verse Cash omitted when he first recorded the song for Sun Records. Jennings sang the verse on the studio recording and in live performances, which allowed each member of the group to sing a verse.
Okay.
Very nice.
That's cool. Because like the original is really, you know, this is like one of the most, I think, well known of the songs that is, you know, they're covering. And,
yeah, first release in 1958 on Sun Records.
It's a good one though.
Yeah. Now it makes me wonder what was in that verse. What was the big deal of? Was it just too long? You think? Because they were cranking out pretty short songs.
235 was the length of this single. mm-hmm. when he first released it. So what was the? It was 245.
Okay.
So I don't know what they.
Maybe they just played it faster.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think
I think
did.
There's probably less fluff on the intro outro. You know.
Yeah.
They get right to it. You know.
And it's more upbeat because it is like the outlaw country type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all bringing in. That's the thing. I don't know. Like, it's really easy to tell the like what's happening with their vocals and the voices and how those are blending. But I find it really hard to tell who's playing guitar when. I do not have their guitar styles differentiated enough in my head at all.
No, I totally get that.
I don't think any of them were playing guitar the entire time. They had like a number of different guitarists on this.
Okay, so they have like people
they probably just did like voices. I mean, they'll play guitar.
Johnny Cash didn't play guitar. Willie and Waylon did.
Okay.
Chris Christopherson did not play guitar.
Okay.
Because then you see them live and they're all playing.
Yeah, they're like, all gonna do it live, but like they don't have to do it in studio, you know.
Well, and it's not who knows if they actually had the guitars mic. They could have just like if you don't have a guitar, what do you do with your hands? You know.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not
they're
like
country
front
stars,
men.
They're not like front men
with one microphone.
They want to look like they're doing something, you know.
Or they're jumping around and
swinging the microphone around their neck.
Well, that's Garth Brooks, you know.
I feel like he's a wild, crazy mother trucker.
I feel like that would be more of a Chris Gaines thing, swinging the microphone around his neck.
Well, that's coming.
Some of the musicians on this, J.R. Cobb is playing guitar. Gene Chrisman is playing drums. Paul Davis, keyboards, background vocals. Bobby Emmons, keyboards. Mike Leach, bass guitar. Chips Moman. Guitars and background vocals, Mickey Raphael on harmonica, Johnny Rodriguez sings in one particular song, background vocals as well, Marty Stewart, mandolin and guitar, Jimmy Tittle, bass guitar, Bobby Wood, keyboards, and Reggie Young on guitars as well.
Wow, that's like almost a whole orchestra.
Yeah.
It is basically an orchestra. Can you imagine being that good that these guys just scout you out and they're like, that guy?
Well, it like doesn't sound like that many instruments, kind of. You know, like it blends, you know? Like it sounds
I wonder if it's like a just on particular songs. Like they didn't have that many, you know.
Oh, was that
songs,
like the whole
they picked
just the whole
that was the
list
entire roster. That was not just on this song.
Okay. I was gonna say, is that on every song? Like that'd be a lot. Okay, that gives me a little bit more context though, because like that's the one thing is like, I mean, it sounds like, you know, this one had that kind of Johnny Cash, like, but that's because he wrote it and you have to have that twang in that part of the guitar if you're going to play the song. I know them all more primarily from their voices though, you know. I don't know. I didn't think this would blend as well as it did. Like their four voices, I thought that it would be like they'd each stick out more like a sore thumb. Because like now I don't hate the Traveling Wilburys or anything, but I feel like sometimes they're not blending quite as well as you're hearing in here. You know, it's like really obvious when one
and there's
person
a lot
steps
more
in.
Of them too. You know,
well, there's
like...
there's four. Right?
No.
Isn't there just four Traveling Wilburys?
No.
I think there were five.
Okay.
I don't think there were more than that.
Because, I mean, the music video, there's just, like, a very limited amount of old white men.
There's, like...
Petty, like, Harrison, Orbison, Lynn, and Dylan. Five.
Okay, it's five. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
That was six for some reason, but okay, he's right.
Yeah, well...
I mean, a lot, guys.
That's a lot for, you know, people that have established things, you know.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, Tom Petty, like that group, those are completely different voices, and not that the Highwaymen are not, but they're all country ish.
You recognize their voices together, in that genre. They've all sang together. The Traveling Wilderberries is really a group of people that have never really sang together before. When you come to
and
the,
from different eras,
to the,
somebody
the,
that sings like
what's up?
It carries very different the melodies, and that's why I think sometimes they don't sound as fluid as they do in this album, because it's not that they have the same pitches, but they're all kind of buttery in the same way, and they kind of feed each other well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that might just be my ear, but
yeah. And
so John, you did say you said that they all knew each other. Apparently, the only two that really weren't super close were Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson. Like, they had not interacted with each other very much until they started getting together. But other than that, like, Waylon Jennings lived, or Johnny Cash lived at Waylon Jennings' apartment in like the 60s, and that was in Walk the Line. And Christofferson had his songs covered by Johnny Cash, and Waylon Jennings covered him too. So,
And apparently he didn't do dishes much, is what I found out in the little documentary. Like, they were talking about living together, and he would talk about how Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings would take care of the cleaning, and Johnny Cash would take care of the food. The only problem was he only cooked every 2 weeks. So I was just like, yep. And then they just laughed. I'm like, yeah, I've had roommates like that. They're all just, you know, the reason that they all kind of finally got together was mostly just because they all finally slowed down a little bit, because they were all really individualistic people. They all paved their own path in outlaw country, which is kind of what makes them outlaws, I guess, in the country. Massive respect for each other though, which is very cool. I don't have much more to say about this track. I guess we'll move on to another track and then get on to the break.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So this next track is Committed to Parkview. Let's hear this.
This is another Johnny Cash
song.
I
just brought him in this morning and attempted suicide. There are those who never made it, those who did but now are through. Some came of their own good choosing, some committed to Parkview.
Just Johnny Cash and Willie on that one.
Okay.
Vocally.
Okay. Yeah, this one does seem a little more bare bones, or I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, a little more low key. And this one's another really, really sad, and kind of deep, themed one. You know, I think when I hear it, I'm thinking about, homeless folks and people with mental illnesses that are not being, taken care of, you know?
Yeah. The song kind of like marks a subtle shift in the album for me. Like, the songs start getting a lot more observant of what goes on around, and I don't know, it's got a really good way of observing and telling a story that we normally don't listen. And I think that the song is it's quite taboo. It mentions drugs by name. It actually tells you what these people are going through. It talks about dying by suicide, and I don't know, I think that we need more songs like that. And it's not them trying to glamorize it,
because
we almost
it's because they've been through it, you know, like
exactly. But right now I feel like we're going through a moment where we almost want to romanticize suicide, and I think that that's a very dangerous route to take.
We want
to romanticize a lot.
Well, that's stuff. Yeah, that was like pretty much the whole like 2000s emo thing. Like, it was it was popular to be into that kind of thing when I was in high school.
And even the fashion that came out of it, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
put blood on shirts, like, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah,
just glamorizing it. But this is like straight to the point, yeah, but also yeah. a story that's devastating.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's so many stories that are so kind of like the first track, like Everyman's stories.
Yeah.
But the Everyman in this case is the, you know, those that don't have privilege and have you know, a good living situation, and yeah, this is just, you know, the people we don't talk about.
Well, you know, that's yeah. the thing. You know, a lot of the early country artists did come from dirt.
Yeah. Know? Well, yeah, a lot of dirt, them did come poor, from, yeah, being, you know, from like, the streets and
farms,
picking up like, a guitar, and
a lot of Southern artists like Johnny in particular. You know,
mm-hmm. just yeah.
There's a really sad part, like the one that says, "There's a girl who cries above me, loud enough to wake the dead. They don't know what she has taken that has scrambled up her head." And again, it's just these sort of rhyme schemes that they have and how they weave in this meaning and yeah. this image, because you have met people like that. You have met people. I mean, if we want to talk Pink Floyd, Sid Barrett, like that is him. Like, that is somebody who was a genius, who simply just lost it. And, you know, how many others do we have that we don't even know their names?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And because it's unimaginable. Like, there's yeah. they're everywhere, you know. There's some people that just can never figure out how to quite, you know, fit in with, you know, what society's molds are, you know. And if you don't, it's a real hard time out there for you.
It is.
So. Yeah, and I'm really glad that they get into, yeah, you're right, like really the kind of very Steinbeck-esque kind of look into, you know, the American life, and mm-hmm. like pretty broad strokes, but also like I don't know, deep enough to really get something out of. So
yeah,
yeah, real sad track, guys. I don't mean to leave you guys on a low note here before the break, but it's not going to get much higher here in the next couple of tracks, though, I'll tell you that. Yeah. But we end on a high note.
We do end on some good notes. Nine and ten are some good ones.
They're all great, but
well, of course,
we're just going to get into some depressing stuff. So look forward to that after the break, guys. We'll be right back with the album cover.
Hello, everybody. This is Brack, and you're listening to the Album Concept Hour. Don't go potty.
The Album Concept Hour.
Tis true.
Yeah.
Tis. I looked for Kris Kristofferson on Twitter. He's not there.
Ah, okay.
Too cool for us, I think.
Yeah, is Willie Nelson on Twitter?
Ooh, wait a minute.
I was gonna say, if anyone is, it's probably got to be Willie. Like, he seems like the most.
He is
social media savvy. Yeah, yeah.
He is. Hey. Oh my goodness! I'm gonna say, hey, Willie, you have a question.
Yeah.
Who's Jimmy? Who's Jim?
Who's Jim that you had to wear a tie for? The first thing I thought was Jim Morrison, but I don't think they'd really care that much about Jim Morrison passing. And Jim Morrison wouldn't care if they wore a tie. So.
Exactly.
So I don't, yeah, it can't be that. It's James Dean, but that's a stretch. No one calls him Jim. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully Willie gets back to us, though. That'd be nice.
It'd be hilarious if he
That'd
did.
That'd be awesome. I would be. So thrilled. Well, maybe we'll get some answers. I hope that whoever is running his accounts
don't, because if he responds, I will go apeshit. It'll be a great day.
That'd be pretty crazy.
It would be.
I mean, I lose it when I like comment on some celebrity or podcaster's thing, and then they like it.
And you're like, ah!
They liked my comment. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm so funny.
Honestly, it's so weird how much of a high that can give you. It's like, yes!
Yeah.
You want to deny it, every aspect of your life.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise.
Absolutely.
You're like, when it happens, you're like, fuck yeah!
Uh-huh, yeah. Well,
I'm acknowledged!
We had Brack on from Space Ghost Coast to Coast last month.
Oh, that was great.
And Brack, Andy Merrill's his name, but he was one of my heroes growing up, and I was just losing my mind interviewing him. But it was a really good time. But yeah.
You worked really hard at that one.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I did a lot of editing too.
Oh really?
Yes. Well, not a lot, but there was like 3 hours of material, and that's part of the reason I made the YouTube video, because there was a lot of stuff that didn't fit into the audio episode. So.
And you were like, I am not wasting a single second of this.
No. Except for the breaths and pauses.
Yeah.
That I can
screw. We got a lot of good material out of that one.
That was so good.
That's so awesome.
Good. Yeah. But yeah, we can get right back into this if you guys want.
You got a half an hour?
Yeah.
Woo! So
we got this.
5 minutes per song.
We got
roughly.
Yeah.
Six minutes.
Yeah.
We got it.
So welcome back everybody to the Album Concept Hour. I am your host, Brad LeBaron. You know our names. We have Daughter of Lilith here to talk about the Highwaymen's album, Highwayman. And yeah, we got 5 more tracks for you guys, and we're going to move right into track number 6. This is Desperados Waiting for a Train.
Gotta have a train song.
And give me money for the girls. And our lives were like some old Western movie.
Like Desperados Waiting for a Train.
Gotta have a train song.
Yeah.
Trains, in the bylaws.
It's a core part of the West.
This is a song written by Guy Clark.
Who
has had countless artists cover his songs, including in 2020, Chris Stapleton included a couple songs on his album he released last year as of this recording.
Nice. Dang.
Yeah, a lot of legendary people they're getting on this project. I bet everyone that was working on it was just so stoked to be a part of it, you know?
I am going to be the person that's going to ruin it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm so deeply sorry for this.
Yeah.
Least favorite song of the entire thing. I'm like, sounds really cheesy. Sounds very 80s. Like it.
It does. I was about to actually say that it reminded me of a Traveling Wilburys track.
Oh,
because like
the song was originally written in 1973. So
okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Funny.
80s country music likes to blend a lot, you know.
Yeah. Because it is like the most like I don't know. This one draws attention to them being old guys so much.
Guy Clark stated that the song is about his grandmother's boyfriend named Jack, who was a grandfather figure to him.
Oh, I feel so bad, but it's so cheesy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
That I want.
You're allowed to feel that way about this, you know.
Man.
Jack's not your grandfather, you know. But, it is a little cheesy though. Like I feel like the last cowboy song has kind of similar subject matter, as in being kind of romantic towards that Western cowboy
wife
or whatever. But yeah, this one is a little more on the nose with that. But yeah, it is definitely a good story here for like this you know, young kids finding this, you know, male role model that he follows to the end of his life. And which is a very just kind of country theme, I think. you know, there seems to be like a lot of like respect for the elderly, I guess. But yeah, I don't know.
And here I come saying I don't like cheesy.
Hey, you know, they can't have like, you know, 10, you know, hits, right?
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have some filler. Every album has to have some filler.
Yeah. But just, yeah, it just feels though, yeah, it does kind of feel like old dudes. But yeah,
the next song is a very old one.
Yeah.
And it's by Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
and it's
the
portraying
I love
the 1948 crash, the January 28th, 1948 crash of a plane near Los Gatos Canyon, 20 miles west of Coalinga in Fresno County, California.
Yeah, so this one's really sad. This is Deportee, plane wreck at Los Gatos, and we'll explain a little more about that after the track.
Goodbye to my one, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mi amigo, Jesus, Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be Deportee.
This is the one that included Johnny Rodriguez on it. You can hear him singing along with them.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, this is definitely a subject that is, you know, still a, you know, really, really sad situation in general in the U.S. And I really love that it's a, you know, a country song that is saying it, saying these things.
Because
sometimes this becomes a divisive issue for some people, and it's it shouldn't.
I was gonna bounce off of that because that's such a really good point, and I do want to spend some time acknowledging that. I think that the media spins this idea that, you know, most, you know, farmers or Americans that work the land hate the immigrants or the people that come in, and actually
that's not true.
It's not true at all from what I've experienced and what I've seen.
Yeah.
Look, immigration is
a lot of them are not.
But labor is, you know, labor work is something that happens. And I think that the homage that Woody Guthrie pays to these people is just absolutely beautiful, but also necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Woody was always a rebel. Like, Woody was always like talking about the things that nobody else wanted to talk about. And
yeah.
Very firm in his views. This song is devastating. And it's still, like you very well said, it's still something that happens today. I mean, we just got out of a situation where we were separating children from their own families, just as deterring people from crossing the border. But that's not even the point. I think that the point is that, you know, this land is everybody's land. Like, you are working the land. And when we were in the middle of the pandemic, we had vegetables because these people were working the land. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing annoys me more than the city slicker that says, oh, food comes from the grocery store. Doesn't happen anymore. But there was a time when people said that. Kids said that.
Yeah, no. We understand the supply chain a little better.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to.
That's one thing. Like, you know, immigrant labor and you know, the U.S. like South farm economy and you know, they're intrinsically like linked. And like, you know, one thing that happens is, you know, throughout history, when we need a bit more of a workforce, we are more accepting of immigrants coming in. And then when we don't need a workforce, we push them out away and push them out. And it just keeps on, you know, for people that experience this, that's just, you know, Tuesday or whatever. But like, you know, it's something that's, not brought up enough in that conversation, that's just kind of a part of our history, not just a recent phenomenon.
I speak Spanish, so yeah. I just want to point that out. Whomever is pronouncing the names is pronouncing them completely and utterly accurately. Like, it's not even like what we would say in Spanish. Like, it's not even like Bocho English, like, or Spanish. Yeah. Pronounced so well. I'm like, oh, these guys actually, whoever's doing it actually speaks a little bit of Spanish or took time to be like, no, this is how you say it.
Well, so,
that's great.
That was who you mentioned at the beginning, right, Jake?
Johnny Rodriguez. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There we go. Jesus and Maria, Rosalita. And they're just saying it right. Say it right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why they got him into the room.
Included him.
He is, I mean, I don't know much
Tejano
about him.
And Texas country music singer.
Yeah. Wow. So it's another,
Latin legend. Sounds and.
Yeah.
And singing verses of songs in Spanish.
Yeah. So, yeah, this one does, they do represent, I guess, in this album, too. It's just, it's not one of the main four of the album.
Yeah.
But, I'm glad that they brought him in because, as you were saying, it brings some legitimacy to what they're singing about. Because it's very, it's very hard subject matter. It's, it's talking about the, like, literal dehumanizing of immigrants that we didn't care to know the names of.
And that's such a good point, because before we move on, like, the fact that he says you won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, they will just call you, they will just, be called deportees, and you're just like, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Still happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, this song is just as relevant today as it was when they recorded it, unfortunately. So, just take time and dwell on that stuff, I guess, is what we're saying. We have three more tracks for you guys. What's up?
Welfare Line is the next one.
This is another good one. Welfare Line. Here we go.
My soul, I swear I'd never sell.
So pass around the bottle, boy. Let's talk about old times. Night's rolling in, it's cold as sin here on the welfare line.
It's a very 80s song, actually.
Yeah, you think?
This guy, the guy that wrote this, was Paul Kennerly.
Yeah.
And he was born in England. And when...
England.
In 1983, he moved to Nashville.
They have welfare in England?
Oh, yeah.
It's called welfare.
And,
no, it's not called welfare. Here it's called welfare.
Yeah, so that's
saying,
when Jake? That's when he wrote this one.
Okay.
I think he had come back, or had come over.
Okay.
At that point.
But
he had a couple different albums he worked on in England since, like, the early 70s there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What I was thinking about this track right off the bat is that perhaps this is a response to, like, Reaganism, because during the Reagan era, there was a lot of people demonizing the use of welfare and the use of social services, and the term welfare queen started to become a term. And, this is 1985, so this is right at the end of all of that. So I think that's got to be intentional.
I'd be curious to see, because Reagan, you cannot talk about Reagan without talking about Margaret Thatcher in England.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Also,
yeah.
Reaganomics, right? So you had Margaret Thatcher in England, and then you also had their other bestie in the South, which was Thatcher. Trying to do whatever they could to create the economy reality that we are actually paying for right now.
Mm-hmm.
So some people deem them as heroes. I, for one, do not.
Yeah, and I'm sure that this guy coming from England to the U.S. probably was not a big fan either.
He wrote a
most
concept.
Musicians of the time were not.
He had a concept album in 1978.
Okay.
About that depict the lives of American Southerners in the Confederacy during the Civil War.
Interesting.
So he was like Waylon, really.
Waylon Jennings played a person in this, as well as Jesse Coulter.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about the movie? That's right. We haven't brought up the movie.
No.
Yet.
This is an album.
Oh.
A concept album from 1978 that Paul Kennerly,
okay.
the guy who wrote this song, White Mansions is the album.
White Mansions. Okay. White
But it
Mansions.
Included Waylon and Jesse, so I'm assuming that's how they got to know him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Not to cut off what you're talking about, but I need to mention the fact that there is a movie.
Yes.
About the four of these guys. It came out the following year. Yes. There is a Western, made-for-TV Western action drama that stars all four of them. It's a remake of a John Wayne film.
We might have to watch this and review it.
I know this is one of those rare. What was that?
It's gonna be the spin-off of this episode.
we do have a few, like we have, you know, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. You know, there's a few like music movies that we should maybe cover one day. Maybe once we start putting out more YouTubes, you know, more of the visuals. But I would definitely watch this. I would absolutely drop what I'm doing. This is Stagecoach is the name of it, by the way. So they were having a great time in the 80s, these four. Like, these guys were just hanging out, making movies, making albums, like, and all, like, I don't know, 50 plus at this point. So, yeah. I think these guys are having a grand old time right now. But, yeah, haven't seen Stagecoach. Can't tell you what it's about. But if you have seen it, actually, you know, if you haven't seen it, let us know in the comments or let us know in the Twitter or something and let us know what you thought of Stagecoach. I'm very curious. I'd love to get a little bit of a review before I watch it. Anyway, we're going to move on to another track. Oh, wait, no, we didn't talk about Welfare Line that much. The lyrics, actually, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this has the line, I fought for my country, Lord knows I did my best. Crawling across some foreign field, they pinned a ribbon to my chest. Which kind of reminded me, actually, of the High Women line again. The kind of cycle of war and violence.
And I think that it's such a good way of pointing out without blatantly saying how poorly we treat our veterans and how appropriate that today on Veterans Day, we get to mention this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
it's the fact that for a nation that worships war the way that we do,
mm-hmm.
We really have a crappy way of saying thank you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a really... Because, like, for people that don't maybe have anyone that served in their immediate circle, it's really easy to just villainize.
You know, I would like to make a...
They have to keep on living and continue, you know, being around after having experienced some of the worst stuff one can experience.
For sure.
So, yeah. I mean, regardless of where you stand, like, you should... always be supporting veterans, I think, you know. Like,
you know, Johnny Cash,
be a political
Johnny Cash has veteran. Been on that too since like
forever.
Yeah,
he
has that one song, Drunken Ira Hayes, you know, talking about like the abuse of like Native American veterans that really happened.
Oh,
happened
yeah,
World War II and
mm-hmm,
such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fight for your country.
Yeah, that's especially like, horrifying to come back after serving and then be treated with racism again. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing that I can't wrap my head around.
And this is our chance, right? This is our chance to prove that we're for the country. You know?
Is that what we say?
No, it's just, but that's exactly it. It's just the fact that no matter, and I do kind of get a little bit on a high horse with this, because if we are going to inevitably be a nation of war, we need to have the resources for these people who go and do what we are not doing ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I never even thought about thinking it like that.
That just, they cannot even have appropriate benefits. Like, that just really irks me. Where is this money going to then? Like, just building weapons because we need to have toys? Make sure that they have access to healthcare, mental health, you know, all of these resources regurgitating, but nobody does a damn thing. And I think that the song written years ago,
greed really rules us. It, especially in America, greed really rules us.
It really has. Like, it has us by the balls.
Yeah. William Nelson says here, serving the Georgia Road Gang, couldn't pay the debts I owe because I'm not made of silver and I ain't never seen no gold. That's just a good line about being just poor and in poverty, you know?
Yeah.
It just hits hard. It's again, this is not stuff that is old or anything. This is still happening. There's still people in poverty, and there's still a lot of homeless people in what's supposedly is the, you know, wealthiest nation ever or whatever.
You got to break up the guys that can go to space for 10 minutes. You know, you got to break up their trust.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All those guys trying to get off this rock.
Trust busting government action here soon.
I agree.
Even if it's international government.
I like this
UN,
soapbox.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's bust these trusts. Let's bust these
so
companies
so much
up.
Money that could just go to people. Go to other companies. Develop other companies.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm glad that there
break
are people talking about universal basic income. I'm sure. I'm glad that's part of the conversation now. Because that definitely, in this growing world, let's not get too far into it, I guess. But these guys are, though, you know, they're touching on these things that are, you know, really, visceral things that we're dealing with on the day to day. Because this is like, they're in the folk kind of like way, they're telling stories about this nation or whatever, you know,
it's kind of
what they've always been doing. This next track we have for you guys is by a little known artist you might know by the name of Bob Seger. This is Against the Wind.
Against the wind, we were running.
So,
Great clip.
Do you think that these guys were like in the studio and they heard this on the radio and they were all like, you know what?
We could do this.
I relate to this. Let's do this. Let's throw this one on.
We could do this.
Like, it feels like a very, like, I don't know.
Seger said that the song came from his days as a high school cross country runner. You described the song as about trying to move ahead, keeping your sanity and integrity at the same time.
Wow.
Totally felt that.
It's so literal. Like, okay.
See why they used
He was literally
this,
running against
the song
the wind.
In Forrest Gump, like when he was running.
Yeah. Oh, but every time when he's running, man. Oh, I love that. I just watched
this is
the
so crazy.
That
like,
make us Forrest Gump too. That's
moving 8 miles a minute for months at a time, breaking the rules. Okay. Okay. New perspective on run against the wind.
Growing old.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Trying to stay young forever, but maybe that's the English teacher in me. I could have been it, but it's just so literal to be like, he's just a runner.
Yeah. You never would guess, you know? I think that's good songwriting when it's universal enough that it just automatically represents something more, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I understand why it's what they chose to. Like, this, all of these lyrics really, really speak to just all of them being, you know, individuals that were kind of on their own paths, all kind of running against the wind in their own way, and then, like, now together, like, it fits in this album, like, really well, you know?
And he also said that he wrote the song about growing old.
Okay. He was running, and he was like, oh, man, I wonder what being old would be like. And then this song. That's Brad's Bob Seger minute.
If you'd like to listen to all about Bob Seger's career, there's an episode of Between the Sheets about Bob Seger.
Wait, isn't my episode with you coming up?
Whenever you want to do it, Brad.
Well, no, didn't we have one scheduled for like December?
January? Yeah. We had a schedule. We all had a schedule, and the schedule has fallen.
Okay.
To pieces.
Okay. All right. So. All right. All right.
It's gone.
Well, it's kind of whenever we did a Eddie Van Halen episode, yeah. And just came out.
Yeah.
So we recorded that like 2 months ago. So it's
well,
kind of whatever
my
happens
side
happens
of the
here.
Fence. Yeah. Welcome to my side of the fence here, Jake.
Yeah, well, part two is gonna come out later, but yeah. I got the radio show comes out. The podcast version
about
of that
Janis
comes out
Joplin.
Every week.
Okay, yeah, I'll
Janis isn't gonna happen, John. I'm just gonna say it.
Okay.
I don't really like Janis, and it's too much work for me to do all of it for somebody I don't.
We
like.
Should we should do a rival Janis episode.
Fair enough.
And drop it on our stream.
You can.
All right. Cool. We're going to do a rival, what's it called? Between the Sheets episode of Janis Joplin.
Yep.
All right.
Fine.
All right.
We could do that all together on here.
You don't like Janis Joplin?
I don't, no.
That's okay.
Me and Bobby McGee, which Chris Christopherson also wrote, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
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 Not a big Janis head, though.
Nope, don't.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's
her
all right.
And Joni Mitchell.
Yeah. He's got like very problematic hangups on a few specific people.
Gotcha.
But I love this song. I love Bob Seger, which again is on Between the Sheets on the Under the Covers with Jake the Snake Foster the podcast page.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
friend Matt Beyer and I did that back in like May.
But yeah, for any time though that you know there's any Joni or Janis Joplin, you know, we can try to do the best we can. But I don't know, Jake's got a lot of facts usually. I don't know if we'll have as many facts.
Jake is the facts master.
We'll try our best. anyway, you guys want to move on to the final track here? We have one more track, and
the John Prine and Steve Goodman song.
Yeah, John Prine, RIP. This is the 20th century is almost over.
All over this world, does anybody recall the Great Depression? I read all about it in the True Confession. Sorry I was late for the recording session, but somebody put me on hold.
So good.
They're having so much
very
fun.
Very gospel.
This one does feel
very
gospel.
Steve Goodman wrote the song. He also wrote You Never Even Call Me By My Name, you know, that song David Allen Coe.
Okay.
Steve Goodman died at 36 years old.
Oh, wow.
Of leukemia in 1984.
Oh, no. Okay, so he died right before this... They did this then.
That's young.
He also wrote "Go Cubs Go."
Oh.
Which
is that like
the Cubs play at the end of every home game win?
Oh, and they don't play it if they don't win.
Man,
apparently not. Yeah,
I was at the Springfield Inn when they won the And they won the series.
World Series, yeah.
Literally one guy like went over and he played it and he sang it all drunken. It's hilarious.
Yeah. What I really like about this, what I clipped here is, does anybody recall the Great Depression? Like, it's just the oldest sentence that you can say out loud, you know?
Well, he can recall the Great Depression. So,
it sounds like,
know?
This literally is like the start of like a thing that my grandma would start talking about, you know? Wow. Like, she lived through the Great Depression. She loved to bring it up whenever she could, as one that survives through the Great Depression does.
It was a hard time. You know,
yeah, it was a historically hard time. I also like that he says, sorry, I was late for the recording session, and that's in the actual song. I think that's just, I don't know if that's Johnny Cash improvising it or that's actually in the original one, but I like that they're having fun. But this one definitely sounded the most modern to me. Like, it sounded more like in the 80s than some of the other ones that we heard. What do you guys think?
I really felt this song.
Yeah.
From the deep of my bones.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, Johnny really Cash released this song in 1980 on his Rockabilly Blues album.
Okay.
As
okay.
well. So.
What happened
that he did
in the 20th
it.
Century?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the 20th century this is like 15 years till the end, really. They don't even know what is about is coming.
Isn't that a sign that we didn't read? We all just laughed at it when it came out, you know? People just chuckled.
Yeah,
what's going wrong, eh?
Yeah.
Well, also, at one point, Willie Nelson says rapping at some point. And, like, with the context of it being 1985, he's definitely not referencing the new musical style of rap. He's talking about someone just rapping, like, talking, you know, like, which, I don't know, I don't hear people use that term.
Oh, spoken word, like?
I thought it was fun.
I like it. I actually... somebody said it that it was very gospel-y, and it is. It's very something that's almost cynical. Like, you were actually just talking about it and just kind of like, yeah, guess what, guys? It's the end of the world. I suppose so.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. it is kind of like a...
No, it's
even
definitely...
The judgment day is getting nearer.
Yep.
There it is in the rearview mirror.
Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's kind of like... Right. It's the end of the world as you know it, and I feel fine, you know?
Almost.
Also, great song, by the way.
Yeah. Fantastic song. Any more thoughts on the album, though, before we get into the last little section?
It really is a great what it is, you know? It really is a great, like, Traveler Man's album.
It really is.
Yeah, it's...
Highwayman from start to finish. Them together as a group, nucleus, working together a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, covering stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely get into the other albums they have. They have two more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing we're going to do is we're going to go around the horn. We're going to find out what everyone has been listening to and what they have to plug. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to start and then go to John, Jake, and then we'll end with Daughter of Lilith. As far as me, I have been listening to, Willow Smith and this other guy made an album called The Anxiety. And they have it's a fantastic album. It's a really, really good album start to finish. And it really, really blew my mind that it was from, you know, the girl that made I Whip My Hair Back and Forth. So, highly recommend checking it out. Have you heard this one?
The album?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. So I'm going to have to be checking it out.
It's very good. There's the big song from it is Meet Me at Our Spot. That's the single, I think, from it right now.
Yeah, and I really like it. I never expected her to have that voice.
Yeah, no, I was blown away. I was listening to the radio this week. That was really what I was listening to this week. Is for some reason I decided I'm just going to listen to regular, like, you know, radio instead of the podcasts. I'm going to listen to radio for a little bit.
Yeah,
and I discovered that. So never thought I'd be recommending Willow Smith, but definitely checked out that project. As far as what I have to plug, you know, I've been spending some time on that Linktree. You should go check out the Linktree. It's looking nice. And, check out our Discord and the links below. And, if you would like to, hire me to mix audio for your podcast or audio project, just email me at flyoverstatepark@gmail.com. And, I know, you know, we have a few local listeners here. Just hit me up. I'd be glad to figure anything out with you guys. John, what about you? What are you listening to? What do you got to plug?
Oh, man. I have actually, obviously, I've been listening to a lot of this,
mm-hmm.
actually, lately. On, like Highwayman Radio, which actually is a good radio because it just produces a lot of songs from these artists.
Yeah.
So not only are you hearing them in combination with themselves, sometimes you're hearing other stuff too, you know, like Waylon and like Hank Williams Jr. You know, doing like a lot of some like country conversation. You know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've been listening to Silk Sonic. I want to get
album,
on
right?
that album. They just released it. I want to get on it.
Yeah.
It's even if we call it a special episode, I do not care. I want to get on it. It's good. I really am a big
John,
fan.
Do you want to get on it?
Yes, I do.
He wants to get on it. Yeah.
And Bruno Mars, very good effort.
Yeah. So. He's a talented guy. Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah. What about you, Jake? What are you listening to? What do you got to plug?
As I just kind of talked about, we released that first half of the episode on Eddie Van Halen. That's on the show feed for Between the Sheets and Under the Covers with Jake the Snake Foster, the podcast on Spotify. So you can listen to that. Brent Coppernall did a great job researching, and so him and I both love Van Halen, and so that's a really good episode. And he's a really great guitarist, so it provides really good insight into that. And then... Under the Covers is when it usually is, Wednesday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. Central Time, 91.7 WSUM, WSUM.org, and the TuneIn Radio app. And then on Sundays, 1 to 3 Central Time on WISY 92.5. And if you go to the Mazo Music Conservancy website, you can scroll down and you can find the link to listen to that online or listen to old shows anytime you want on Spotify. So that's there. And then for the radio show this week, because I've been doing this preview where I've been talking about what we're going to play, we're going to hear Gordon Lightfoot, Jeff Buckley, Arthur Conley,
Gordon Lightfoot.
Don Gibson. Gordon Lightfoot apparently is coming to Madison, the Madison, Wisconsin area, too. I just saw that as we were doing this. Didn't know he was still touring. The Kentucky Headhunters, Johnny Cash, there's a song there, Jimmy Ruffin, Hank Ballard, the Chicks.
Yeah.
Neil Young, Herbie Mann, I think it's the, here we go again, the birth or the death of Duane Allman. I don't remember, because they're very close to each other. I think it's his birthday, because he's born on the same day as Joe Walsh.
Hmm.
As well, so those two guys are born on the same birthday, a year or two apart. So all that's coming up on the show this week. That's
nice.
About it.
Nice. And then finally, what about you, daughter of Lilith? What are you listening to, and what do you have to plug?
I've been revisiting the early '90s and the late '80s, or mid '80s, really. I've been listening to a lot of Def Leppard.
Oh, okay.
Why? I don't know, but I love it.
Hey, that's got a real vibe to it, you know?
They really did, really trash, but really good.
Yeah.
I've also been listening to Tori Amos's new album, Ocean to Ocean, which is actually really decent.
Okay.
And I'm going down the rabbit hole of Rage Against the Machine. Evil Empire is a great record, and I keep forgetting how good it is until it like pops up in my Spotify, and I'm like, why did I ever stop listening to this? You know what I mean? And the biggest shout out that I want to give is to a new band from Atlanta. It's called Vision Video, and it's very kind of 80s gothy, The Cure meets their own sound. It's just really cool.
Okay.
So I highly recommend everybody checks them out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
No shameless plug right now, because I am studying and finishing papers for grad school. So nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done that. Thanks for making time for us. When I was in grad school, it was like every minute. Every minute sucked.
Well, this is your like one day off, right? Is that what you're saying?
The one day off.
Yeah, yeah. So it ended up
that I've been looking forward to. So it's like I'm not doing it. So
yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Way to go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so glad that we got to line up the days with your day off. I guess good luck with the rest of grad school. It sounds like I understand that's a difficult.
I graduate, so we'll be having other episodes, I'm assuming.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming I have to have you back for some Guns N' Roses thing, right?
Oh, stop. I would love to do that.
I was thinking about during the episode, I'm like, wait, why haven't we done a Guns N' Roses thing?
Why haven't we done Guns N' Roses? That needs to be the next one.
Yeah, I think it should. It's we've teased it enough, and we've talked about it a few times recently, actually. So I think we should get to it.
There we go.
Yeah. Look forward to that, guys. Next time we have daughter Lilith on. But thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast out there, and we will see you guys next time.
Thank you so much.
I'll get you later.
Awesome. All right. The Album Concept Hour is Brad LeBaron, Dave Gallagher, John Aker, and Jake the Snake Foster. Special thanks to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard for the theme music. Join the discussion on our Discord, tweet to us at Album Concept Pod, or for everything else, go to linktree.com/Flyover State Park. See you on Side B.
State Park, you are clear to land.